Is it time for major government action on low pay in Northern Ireland? Two new reports published today indicate the poorest people here are continuing to struggle. A Nevin Economic Research Institute study uses official data to suggest that one in six workers here are classed as low paid. On top of this, a report from the Joseph Rowntree Foundation has examined falling incomes in the recession. It found the typical household saw a 9% drop in income, while the poorest households saw a 16% drop. So what can and should be done? Would the answer be a big hike in the minimum wage? There's also a campaign for employers to adopt a higher living wage level. On the line, journalist Brian Pellin. Hello.
Hello, Brian. I'm sorry. Hello, Lisa.
And Nigel Smith, head of the CBI. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
To you first, Nigel Smith, should we be worried about these findings?
I think there is a general concern. Our aspiration must be for a high-paid, high-productivity economy with sort of full employment. Nobody wants to have an economy with a disproportionate number of people on low pay. The challenge is how do we get there? And certainly our view would be just hiking up wages would undermine actually jobs. So the issue really is we're driving up productivity. It's about getting the education system right. It's about getting the skill system right, retraining, upskilling people. And it's about bringing in and encouraging higher paid jobs. So this is a medium to long term strategy. There's no easy answer to this, but it's certainly not about hiking up wages in advance of doing these other structural changes.
Brian Pellin, is that something you would agree with?
Well, I can't agree with that. Obviously, what do you call it? That's the view there of the employers, and I totally expected that to be said. You know, that acknowledging that there's a problem, and then you get the but. But if you do anything about it in terms of wages, that it'll hurt the economy adversely. No, what do you call it? My view is because I edit the online magazine View, and I also work for Unison. So I don't know about Nigel, but I'm very, very aware of the problems of low-paid workers. Many of our members in Unison who work in the voluntary community sector are constantly undergoing low wages. And not only that, they haven't had a pay increase in several years, so they're struggling. For me, this report, one of the things this report that jumped out at me was one of the lines, which was by the chief executive of the Rowntree Foundation, which is a very respected organisation, said that these findings are a wake-up call for governments in Stormont and Westminster.
But what can realistically be done?
Well, basically, there is wealth. There is wealth in Northern Ireland. I mean, there is wealth. It's just a lot of them don't have any access to that wealth. They're on low paid, so they're absolutely dependent on their wage or not getting a wage, unemployment benefits. And we have the welfare reform bill coming down. And that's kind of the Titanic coming down towards us, the welfare reform bill, because there's no one can argue that if those changes are implemented, it'll make the situation even worse. So basically what can be done is, first of all, there is wealth out there. I mean, I'm convinced there's wealth out there, but we don't know the extent of the wealth, because to have these reports done in the nature of what low paid are on, the shareholders, the people who are on boards, etc., what is their wealth? I mean, in the Republic of Ireland recently, reports come out talking about chief executive, community voluntary organisations who run huge salaries, whilst the workers in the same organisations run very low salaries. So I would like the information to come out in terms of what is the wealth in Northern Ireland, and then have the debate. In other words, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what all the boards have, etc. I know that if you're a shareholder on a board, if there's a board constructed, the idea is to return maximum what I call benefit to the shareholders, not the workers who work for that company. So I think that has to be looked at as well. But there absolutely is money out
surely
there.
That's just a free market economy, Brian. That's what happens.
Yeah, okay. A free market economy just came out of another massive economic disaster. The people at the helm of the free market economy, or as some people might call it, capitalism, and another absolute disaster, which was obviously not caused by low-paid workers, but this is the irony of it. So you have these disasters, and they're cyclical. It's not been the first economic disaster taking place under capitalism, under the free market economy. And it does happen. We're all told to tighten our belts as if somehow we caused the problem. No, the issue, I think, is that people in Northern Ireland have to realise the low paid is not some sort of subgroup, the low paid. You can be in a job. If you lose your job tomorrow, and at the moment now they're proposing what are called job losses under the post office, which was privatised, which was coming. An organisation which is reasonably profitable, the post office, they're opposing job losses. So here's another section of workers this morning saying, am I now going to be pushed in the low paid?
Okay. I want to let Nigel Smith respond, Brian, to some of the points you've made there. Nigel Smith, I think the key point there Brian was making was essentially business needs to carry the can and accept some responsibility for the mess that we have been in and recognise that lower paid workers need some uplift.
Well, I would certainly agree business is the solution, but I don't think you can put all the blame on business. We have a relatively small private sector, and the real challenge in Northern Ireland is growing that, and growing that particularly in the higher value-added sectors. So we need more enterprise, we need more entrepreneurial activity, we need to help grow the small and medium-sized companies that we have, and that's going to be driven through exports, and they need to be competitive, so they need to be investing in skills and in R&D and in innovation. And at the same time, we need to attract in higher calibre and higher quality jobs through foreign direct investment. That's one of the reasons the whole business community, the main political parties, all support the devolution of corporation tax.
Well, what about a big hike in the minimum wage or the introduction of a living wage?
Well, first of all, the minimum, in the UK, we have a low pay commission that does a significant amount of research. And about 3 to 4 weeks ago, it made a recommendation that for the first time in 5 years, the minimum wage will go up by more than inflation. It's going to go up by 3%, inflation around about 2%. Over the last number of years, we've been in a recession, very difficult times. So the right thing to do was to keep the floor relatively low. But there's an acceptance, and we believe it's a right to a balance here, because if it goes up too high, all you're going to do is eliminate jobs. There's a lot of companies out there on very low margins. There's a lot of companies out there that are actually losing at the money. So if you put the wages up too high before you get the productivity, you're going to put those companies out of business. So we believe we need a balanced approach to the minimum wage. Living wage.
Do you think that your members are keen on a higher than inflation rise in the minimum wage?
No, well, I think we accept it. There's an acceptance that the minimum wage has been kept below inflation for the last 4 to 5 years. It was introduced in 1997. For several years, it went up higher than inflation. For the last 4 to 5 years, it grew at less than inflation. We accepted a modest increase, and it's a fine balance to be had on this here. So it's moved up by 3%, or will move up in October.
The CBI, though, basically, when the minimum wage was coming in, though, Nigel Smith, the CBI said that basically the world would stop turning. Those dire warnings never came to pass.
When did we say that? The key issue was at what level the wage would be set at. And to be fair, in the Labour government in 1997, they set it at a relatively sensible level, having undertaken the right evidence base to do that. If it had been brought in at a higher level, it would have had much greater impact. The evidence over the last year going into the Low Pay Commission and the government agreed that if it went up too high, you would actually lose tens of thousands of jobs. So there's a balancing act to be played here. But you know, I think we all want, the strategy is we need to be moving on our vision and ambition to a higher paid economy. But we need to be doing the right things to do that.
But there is a reality. There is a reality, and the difference in the minimum wage at the moment, it's £6.31, and the recommended living wage that a number of companies have signed up for. If you go on their website, there's reams and reams of companies who have agreed to pay the living wage, which is £7.65. That's a difference of £1.34.
Yeah, and I think certainly one would encourage those companies that can afford to do that. One would have to encourage companies to do that. But I think we have to realise there are a lot of companies and a lot of sectors out there across the UK, not just in Northern Ireland, that could not afford to do that. It would put them into a loss-making situation, or indeed their existing loss-making situation would be even worse on the back of that. You know, we have to drive productivity. There are clearly a lot of companies and sectors and jobs out there in the higher value that pay considerably more than that. That's just the nature of the sector. Northern Ireland has a disproportionate amount of people in sectors that are in the low sort of pay sort of category. That is unfortunate. That is where we are. We want to move away from that. We want to encourage growth in the higher value-added sectors. You know,
okay.
IT sector, well-paid. You know, the biggest probably job opportunities in Northern Ireland, but actually we don't have enough people.
Okay, well, we want to hear from
our schools and universities.
We want to hear from those people at home this morning and hear just what it is like for them at the coalface. The number 08459 555 678, the text 81771, or you can email nolan@bbc.co.uk. Peter's called in. Good morning.
Morning, is it?
What's your sense then about how we're coming out of this?
Well, I just think the government's purposely mishandling the whole situation, and I can give you two clear examples of that. The first example is that quantitative easing on the banks equates to over £6,000 for every man, woman and child in Britain. Now, that doesn't include the bailout, that's just quantitative easing. Now, had that £6,500 been given every man, woman and child in Britain, does anybody seriously believe would still be in recession? Another point is...
Why, do you think we'd be out of recession if that happened, Peter?
We'd all have no debts, we'd all have cars, we'd all have expansions, new kitchens and bedrooms and holidays, and the economy would be booming. Of course it would, if every person was given the £6,500 that was given to the banks. The second thing is that this autumn coming, the troops in Britain are supposed to come back from Afghanistan. If that is the case and they do return, 2015 will be the first year in 100 years that Britain haven't been involved in a conflict. Who do you think's been paying for these conflicts for the past 100 years? And see, given what I've just said there, what are our politicians doing? It's disgraceful.
Okay. Well, what would you like them to do, Peter?
Well, number one, if they can print money to give the banks, why can't they print money to give the people? How did Britain build a health service after a war when the country was in the greatest recession ever? How did they do it? Because there was a will to do it. There's no will to do it. You see a man's on there talking about the minimum wage. See, when a man gets a minimum wage and he doesn't have enough money for his family to live on, who bails out the private individuals paying him the minimum wage? The taxpayer, because they get family credit. Now, why not just get the employer to pay the man a decent wage that he doesn't have to live off benefits? Most of the poor in Britain today are working people. They're not on benefits. Well, they are. They're getting subsidies by the taxpayer. But they're working poor. They're not on the dole. They're working poor, and that is obscene. In a country that can run wars throughout the world for 100 years, in a country that can bail out banks. Now, this doesn't include the bailout. The quantitative easing alone amounts to over £6,000 for every man, woman and child in Britain. That's just one example of how this government is mismanaging the situation and helping out the rich. Because when they're helping out the rich, who owns these companies that are paying the minimum wage? Rich people.
Okay.
Why are they allowed to pay a minimum wage? Because the benefit system and the taxpayer will subsidise it.
Okay, Peter, thank you. Ross is on the line this morning. Hello, Ross.
Hello, how are you doing, Lisa?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. I have a few comments. One of the things I want to say, first of all, is Stormont had the opportunity to bring in living wage. There was a debate on it about 6 months ago, and I really wish they had it done so. But, you know, the main parties in Stormont voted against it, and that, I think that was a disgrace. And they still got the opportunity, and they can still do it. And the idea was that they would bring in the living wage for any private sector contracts that they would have with companies. And the other thing I want to say was to challenge what's being said by the CBI, because what we have is a situation where basically inequality is actually a drag on growth, and that's actually come through as a research report from the IMF. And the other thing that the Nigel Smith from the CBI said was about productivity. It was about increasing productivity, and therefore you would improve the wages for people at the bottom. Productivity has been increasing every year, but people's wages haven't. And that's essentially the problem. And it's organisations like the CBI are holding down wages, the very poorest people in society. And exactly what the caller before had said, they're effectively being subsidised by the taxpayer to do this through the likes of tax credits.
Okay, let's let Nigel Smith respond to that. Go ahead, Nigel.
Well, that's incorrect. Productivity today remains below its pre-recession level. So I'm not a fact. And indeed, that has been a key downward pressure on real wages. Now, hopefully in the next couple of years, we will see productivity starting to grow again. And we would expect we will see earnings start to outstrip inflation. Those are the predictions. Certainly by the end of the year, we would expect average earnings to be higher than inflation. But the gentleman, Ross, was incorrect in what he said there about productivity continuing to grow. That has not been the case.
Frank's in Coal Island. Good morning.
Morning, Lisa. Lisa, to me, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I think one thing that we must be looking at is the minimum wage and what people are getting on their benefits. People are not getting enough money in this day and age. And to me, listening to Nigel and his old friend there speak about boards and boards and boards, we shouldn't be interested in boards. What we should be interested in is getting people down, the poor people that's there to receive a good minimum wage or a good benefit. To me, the richer just get richer and the poor are left sitting there. To me, this is one of the most important things in life for people, that people get a good standard of living, Lisa. And that is the way that I would look at it, so I would.
Have you found it tough, Frank, during the recession?
Personally, I don't want to give my details. I see it in other people. If you're in any town that you see there, you can see people come past you and people are stressed out. There's nobody coming along the street now whistling or chewing gum and rubbing their hands. And people nowadays seem to be under that much pressure in this day and age. That's the way I see it, Lisa. And for people to be talking about boards and people getting wealthier is a load of nonsense to me. I don't agree with that. I would agree with make the poor wealthier and bring up the minimum wage. And, you know, can I ask those gentlemen, how can they see themselves getting out of a recession? And, you know, the answer to that, Lisa, is...
What's that?
Money that the government is holding. The government must spend in here in Northern Ireland to get the country lifted and get the people out of a recession. It's under control by the government and the banks that the people now are going through this recession. And people talk about when is it going to end and this and that. To me, the government controls it. And they can turn around and say, we can take ourselves out of this tomorrow. They're giving themselves different wage levels all the time. All you can hear is they're getting a pay raise of maybe in thousands and tens of thousands.
But it has to be sustainable too, Frank, doesn't it?
Sorry?
It has to be sustainable too, any recovery.
But do you see, whenever you spend money, Lisa, you make money. If you're holding money, say for instance, you yourself, you're holding a wealth of money in your bank, and whereas if you spend that money, you're going to create jobs and you're going to create more income for yourself as well. Whereas the government is holding money too much, whereas they should release it and let it out there and let the money do the work. And see, if the money does the work, it'll take us out of the recession. Plus, it'll make the poor people, to give them a better standard of life. To me, anybody now in a high position in life should be turning around and saying, let's see, can we do something for these people?
Frank, thank you very much for getting in touch this morning. I want to put your point to Nigel Smith. Is it the case that Frank makes there, that the more money you pay your employers, whether it's a higher minimum wage or a living wage, the more money they're going to spend in the economy and therefore everybody benefits?
Well, I think the point that you said, this has to be sustainable. People could pay their employers more, but if you take a service sector company, the wages may be 70-80% of the total sort of cost. If you up those costs, say by 10%, you may find you don't have any margin left. You may find you don't have a viable business at the end of the day. You're there competing. Many companies in Northern Ireland are competing internationally, so we have to be competitive. So I would go back to my first point. It is about driving up productivity. It is about investing in people, retraining them, skilling them up. It's about companies investing in R&D and innovation. And to be fair, many companies are moving in that direction. The problem is we don't have enough of them. We need to encourage the ones that are doing. And at the same time, we do need to be attracting more investment into Northern Ireland. And that is the current government strategy, through DETI and Invest Northern Ireland. They have targets that a certain percentage of jobs have to be higher than the average wage. You know, that has been in play now over the last 4 to 5 years. But this will take time. Unfortunately, there is no short-term solutions here. Yes, in October, the minimum wage is going up. It is a modest rise. I accept that. But it has to be part of an overall strategy of upskilling, getting the education system right, taking advantage of the growth opportunities that there are out there, and encouraging people to progress individually.
Okay, Nigel Smith, Brian Peelan, thank you both very much indeed.